Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
You bet one bone to win 19. Where? What site do you use where you can actually bet $1?
They let you do 50-cent bets.
Oh my goodness, Greg.
Yeah, literally, like he dropped Superman down like the drain, comes out. Like, God damn it, Superman. I don't know, honey. I don't know where he got that from.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City.
Part of the DITCOW Sports Network.
Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the home of champions, Southern California, on what has been a very eventful past 2 weeks. I want to thank all of you who tuned in during our YouTube-exclusive election night coverage with Kevin on the Cape and me. We were on live for 4 hours on Tuesday night, November the 4th, and at the time, the election was not yet decided, but it looked pretty bleak for those of you who were rooting for Joseph R. Biden Jr. If you're rooting for Trump, well, I mean, things were looking good on that night, but then things devolved very quickly after the fact. So Kevin and I, you know, admittedly, we jumped the gun, but the election continued and continued because mail-in balloting takes a long time to count. So we were in on that for a lot of the week, and it was exhausting. It was exhausting for pretty much the entire country, and we on this show were no different. So our football panelists and I mutually decided not to do a show on Wednesday because we just thought it was kind of a we were just tired. So we went ahead and did that, and I think it's worked out. I mean, I think that was for the best. But on Saturday, a president-elect was decided. It is Joe Biden who will be the 46th president of the United States. So we are thankful. At least Kevin and I can't speak for everybody, but a lot of people were relieved and in knowing that there's going to be some change, and at least there's a chance in terms of, you know, trying to tone down this rampant coronavirus all around us. We'll have more on this on our follow-up show, whenever it will be. We have a tentative schedule of Friday night to do our election follow-up program, Kevin on the Cape and me. So stay tuned on the Twitter for that, at DITCOW. We'll see. Other things to bring up before we get into our football talk. The next day, we had a huge loss for television. It's just terrible. You know, Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy since 1984, passed away to pancreatic cancer. Just a huge one. That is tough. I mean, you know, you had the cornerstones of game shows for 35 years at least. You know, Bob Barker, Alex Trebek, and Pat Sajak. And of the three, only Pat Sajak is still doing shows. But, you know, that's tough. That's a tough one. You know, Alex Trebek affected so many people for so many years. And, you know, my sympathies with the Trebek family and game show fans everywhere. Jeopardy fans everywhere, you know, just fans of television everywhere. That's a tough one. And so to round it out, the news dominating the headlines right now is COVID. It's just hitting everybody. Every team, seems like every program, college and pro. And we've already had 8 cancellations so far for week 11 in college football. And we might even have a postponement or two in the NFL too, but that's mostly speculation on my part. So we're going to start football picks tonight. We have... much to discuss, and we want to thank all of the guest pickers who were with us, who contributed to our previous 2 weeks of shows. We weren't on the air a week ago, but Sharon did do the picks for week number 8, and for week 9 it was Dave and Queen. So thanks again, everybody. And the final thing before we get into the football picks in earnest, happy Veterans Day, everybody. We really hope that it was a good holiday for those of you who partook. And I can't say enough about the people who served this country. Thanks to all who served. You know, I know that all of us have gotten to know people who have served in various tours of duty and as part of the military in any capacity. It doesn't matter what you do for our armed forces. I am so thankful to all of you for defending our country. So let's now get into it. As far as football is concerned, quite an exciting week in the NFL. Some wacky games, shootouts between Miami and Arizona. And then just some shockers. You had Buffalo taking down they creamed Seattle. And the same thing for the Saints against Tampa Bay. The Steelers barely survived the Cowboys and a lot more. So with all of that on the table, we have our entire panel assembled. We're ready to go. So without further ado, let's hit it. Football picks week number 10. And let's get you caught up in what happened in week numbers 8 and 9. So we'll start with week 8. In week 8, it was Ron who was just dominant. Look at this. 4-0. A perfect sweep with 8 points in week 8. John and Andy were also stellar. 3-1 in week number 8 for 6 points each. And I was in last place at 1-3 for 2 points. The guest picks from Sharon in week 8 went 2-2 for 4 points. That was a tough one because he swept his college picks and he was riding for somebody to have juice in the NFL, and it just didn't happen, especially in the Cleveland game. That had to have been frustrating at the time. Week 9, this is what happened. Ron again in first place, continuing where he left off at 3-1 for 6 points, and I, Dave, right behind him at 3-1 again for 6 points. And John was 3-1 as well, 6 points. Andy was not too far behind at 2-2 for 4 points. And the guest picks by Dave. That's not me, that's Dave in Queens. He went 3-1, which means this is the first winning week for guest pickers in quite some time. So that's great to see. He had 6 points for the guest picking crew. So here are the standings after 9 weeks. It is Ron at the top, holding on to first place at 40 points, going 20-10, which is really good for football picks against the spread over a season. I, Dave, am in second place with 36 points, 18-12, my record. John is in third place at 34 points at 17-13. Andy is in last place at 27 points, not that far off from everybody else, with a 13-16-1 record. And the guest picks, 11-19 for 22 points on the season so far. There is still time. We're a little over halfway through the season so far, and that's what we've got on the board. As we say hello to our panel tonight, you can see them all here if you're watching on YouTube this evening. And I think this would be a good opportunity to welcome in. Let's welcome in Ron to the program first. Ron, good to have you with us. How's it going tonight?
Good, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. I think just being safe. I mean, there's always good and bad with 2020, so it's just kind of been
that. Hey, we're here. That's all that matters, right?
So far, so yeah, exactly. You guys watching the action right now? Let me say.
I am. The Western Michigan Toledo game is on. I think I've said this before, but the defensive coordinator for Western Michigan is a kid who I grew up with, played football with my whole life. So I always keep an eye on Western Michigan. It's a shame they started off, it was like 14-14, like 5 minutes ago, and now they're losing by 10. But it's been a good game so far.
I don't think they're out of it yet. I mean, I think it's going to be like this the whole game. So, I got an eye on it too. Good stuff. Andy, we say hello to you. Hold on. Let me just push the button to let you unmute. See if that worked. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, what's up? Well, I'm watching Max and I'm, just documenting all the examples of voter fraud I'm finding on TikTok. So, I'm just kidding. It's been a long week. I was talking to my girlfriend of mine, like March till now, when the Masters start tomorrow, like that feels like yesterday when March Madness was canceled and the Masters was canceled. But like between Halloween and now, it feels like a year. So I don't know. I'm exhausted by like all the stuff, but we're talking about sports. That's a lot more fun.
Yeah, let's do that tonight. And so in so doing, we should also welcome John to the program. John, welcome back. How's it going tonight?
Doing well, Dave. Yeah, I got 3 screens here. I got 2 TVs and a tablet catching all the action. And it's been some interesting games so far. So, just like everyone said, it's the last week and a half has been pretty draining. So it'll be good to talk some football for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And we do have a lot to recap. I mean, the NFL was really, really interesting last week. The matchups didn't seem to play out. Didn't seem that way. But it was a very, very exciting week of football. And Andy made the point on Twitter, at Bach Lou Lang LLP on Twitter, if you're looking for him on Twitter. And he definitely nailed it. There was a lot going on. And I think to start us off with the recap, let's go over to Ron and let's get your thoughts on last week's action.
Yeah, you know, last week actually ended up being – you ended up having a lot more interesting games than you would have thought, which could be good or bad depending on your betting scenario. But, you know, the first game that stands out to me is, like you mentioned it before, Dave, the Seattle-Buffalo game. You know, you could see Buffalo winning, especially Seattle coming across, you know, the country to play Buffalo. But man, the way that Buffalo ran them over was surprising. And, you know, I'll tell you what, for as good as Russell Wilson is, and he is probably the MVP this year of the National Football League, their defense is horrendous, like just almost all-time bad, horrendous. And the reason why he's the MVP is because he's actually helping them win these games. You know, it seems like every week it's like 42-35, you know, 41-38, something like that. So I don't think that's sustainable, you know, come the playoffs. But boy, they are a team that needs a pass rusher in the worst way. And I think they regret letting Clowney walk this offseason because they just have no pass rush. And you saw it last week, Josh Allen just picked them apart. So that, you know, that was first, the first surprising, I guess, result there. But, you know, back to the games that, you know, were close or, you know, at least, interesting to watch. Kansas City and Carolina was, I mean, that's another game where I actually had Kansas City plus 9.5. I thought they were going to roll over the Panthers, and every time they kind of pulled away, and they were losing at half, I think, the Chiefs, every time they pulled away, Carolina would sneak a touchdown back in there, and they actually got a backdoor cover. Actually didn't get a backdoor cover because it would have only been 9, but, you know, they got that touchdown in the last couple minutes to make it a 2-point game. Same thing with Jacksonville and Tennessee and who they play last week? Houston?
Wait, who are we talking about?
Jacksonville and Houston.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
I had Houston plus 6.5, and Jacksonville snuck in with a backdoor cover. And for us on the East Coast, we actually had the Colts and the Ravens game in the 1 o'clock window. And my God, what a terrible game. I mean, you had all of these interesting games going on at the same time, and we got stuck with Philip Rivers, who is just a shell of himself, and the Colts just have a terrible offense, and luckily the Ravens, you know, were able to turn it around the second half. But what a miserable game to watch. We actually, in New York, we were stuck with either Ravens and Colts or the Giants and Redskins. So
yikes.
it wasn't a great 1 o'clock window, that's for sure.
Nah, but that 4 o'clock window really did make up for it. There were some excellent games in that. I mean, I know that people wouldn't call a Steelers-Cowboys game that was like 24-19.
Oh, that was brutal to watch, Dave.
Come on.
Oh, you know what's funny is I had it on in the background and I was doing stuff, and you know, at some point I looked over and it was like 16-9 or something like that. The Cowboys were winning and Mason Rudolph was in.
Yep.
And I just assumed that Big Ben got like hurt like the first play of the game and they were forced to play Rudolph, but you know, that was wrong. I guess Roethlisberger missed a series or something like that. And for James Conner, I mean, James Conner was running over teams, you know, 2-3 weeks in a row. And then he goes against the worst rushing defense in the NFL and has about 20 yards. It was just an odd game, really weird game plan by the Steelers. It's like they gave up a couple field goals early and just went into like a shell of themselves.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that they started slowly, because after that dramatic win at Baltimore and after the Cowboys got their butt kicked the week before, who was it that week? I forget, but it may have been, I think it was Philadelphia. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I expected there to be some letdown. I was almost assured of it. But then it just kept going, and I'm like, guys, you got to win the game at some point. And they were kind of, they're awfully lucky. I mean, they got some calls late in the game. Like, there was, like, a pass, you know, roughing the passer, which I think was really soft. It was just some bad officiating at the end of that.
Yeah,
so.
It was a weird one.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about some more football. Obviously, primetime did not offer much. Although I have to admit, if you like humor, Monday Night Football was a great watch. Like, the Jets blowing that game in the fourth quarter up 10. But let's go to John. Let's get your recap of last week's action.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, I think you've seen it before from Mike Tomlin and the Steelers playing on the road against an inferior opponent. They just come out so flat on a number of occasions. That's why even, you know, I thought when the Cowboys announced that they were starting Gilbert instead of DiNucci, I thought that was just a huge upgrade. I mean, I know Gilbert is like kind of a fringe backup player, but at least he started games in the NFL and has shown some promise before, like in preseason. That guy DiNucci had no chance if he had started that game. So they kind of got a shot in the arm with that. And then the Steelers just came out really flat, like you said. And it was just, you know, it was, and Eastern Michigan almost had an interception. Okay. Dropped it. Sorry, preoccupied with this game here. but yeah, no, the Steelers, they come out flat after that big win against Baltimore. So I'm not surprised it was close, and, you know, they pulled out and remained undefeated. So I guess really that's all you can hope for as a Steelers fan. Ron hit on the Buffalo game. Yeah. That Seattle defense is just god awful. It reminds me of the 2011 Packers defense, which was by far one of the worst in NFL history. And somehow Rodgers got that team to 15-1, ended up losing the playoffs to the Giants. Obviously the Seahawks aren't going 15-1, but it's just the same kind of thing. You need a dynamic quarterback to carry that team, or else they're not going anywhere. The Raiders Chargers game was just a crazy game. Every week the Chargers are going to come down to the very last play, and it did. It happened again this week. And you think the guy gets the touchdown at the end of the game, but on the slow motion replay, it kind of slipped through his hands, and the Raiders hang on for the win. And the Chargers, I mean, you know, the same old story. They could have won four or five more games this year. You know, these close losses that they have. The Miami Arizona game was pretty thrilling. Once again, Cliff Kingsbury doesn't know how to manage a clock in the final minutes. Kicks what was like a 49-yard field goal on fourth and one rather than going for it. And, you know, his kicker couldn't even have the leg to make it 49 yards. And they end up losing that game. And then the Sunday night game, talk about your all-time bad game plans. The Bucs had the lowest rushing attempts in NFL history. They had five rushing attempts, and that included a kneel down at the end of the game. Like, what kind of game plan did Bruce Arians, like, put together for that game? I mean, just a disastrous night. And I don't know. I mean, you wanted to say that was Antonio Brown being there now is kind of throwing a cancer on the team. I don't know. We'll see how this plays out going forward. But that was just a horrible performance by the Saints, and really just completely flipped the division. And now the Saints with, two wins in hand against Tampa Bay are the clear favorites to win that division. So I guess that was the most impactful, I guess, game of the week in terms of playoff seeding. It's hard to see a path for Tampa to win the division at this point.
I love the comment, see a path. That was on my mind all week.
That's right. I've been watching too much of Steve Kornacki on MSNBC and the big board last week. It's just, no, we're all in the election mode still, kind of, I guess. I don't know.
I wonder if the Cowboys are claiming that they would have won easily if they counted the legally scored points in that game last week. Let's go to Andy for the recap.
Yeah, I'm biting my... Yeah, I was wondering, like, whoever's, like, leading after nine holes tomorrow at Augusta, and then everyone that teed off after, what happened? No, never mind. But it was a strange week, exciting week. I probably watched more Giant football in between last Monday and on the lower right-hand corner of my computer screen with the Washington Redskins. Than I will for the rest of the year. You know, 6 hours of Giants football is I wouldn't recommend that on my worst enemy, but they were only show in town last Monday, and then I had the Redskins last week, and anyone but Alex Smith, they might win that game, but you guys kind of nailed the tone of last week. It was, you know, oh, you see the movie where the Steelers play down to their opponent? That happened. You see the movie where everyone hypes up that Tampa-New Orleans game, and on paper that should have been a really good game, and it was a lemon. Like, I got shaving cream and, like, paper towels at halftime of that game because I'm like, let's get a head start on errands because I am not – it was, like, 31-0 at halftime. And, like, Al's, like, begging people to, like, stick with the game. No, thank you. I had a rant. I'm not as angry about it now because we've had, like, 4 days to let it chill. But, God damn it, like – the Bears are so bad. Like, I had them getting 6.5 from the Titans. They lost by 7. It might as well have been 55-3. That game was not close. And at one point, the Bears got the ball with, like, 2 minutes left right before halftime at midfield. It's like, okay, at the least you're going to score 3. And one penalty turned into – bad, you know, now they're at their own 40, and it's like Nagy's content with just not doing anything. I know they're without, like, their best offensive lineman, so maybe get rid of Nick Foles. Like, we've seen what Nick Foles can do. We've seen what Nick Foles can do when he's got nobody to protect him, and he will never – first time I actually see him, like, step into a throw will be, like, the first – because he doesn't do that anymore. So why not give Mitch another chance? Because Foles sucks. And they're just wasting that defense, because that defense is a killer defense. And Tennessee, arguably, you know, defense is not their strong suit. And for the Bears' offense to look as, like, F-plus as it looked, that's a disaster. That was a disgusting game, and I watched way too much of it. Dick Stockton was on the call.
He's still around.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the 4 o'clock or the 1 o'clock stretch out here was very entertaining. Condolences, Yachts, because they invent ways to lose games. That was crazy. It's funny because they ran the corner fade like 2 times in a row to that, you know, he's a big target, but you didn't let Keenan Allen have a chance like those last 2 plays of the game. And I know Herbert, like, those 2 throws, like, right on the money. And then obviously on the 4th down play or the last play of the game or whatever, like, the guy that caught it had to know it was dropped. So he's like, he's celebrating, but deep down he knows he didn't get it. And it's like, I don't think that was a catch. And obviously it wasn't a catch. And yeah, Tua versus Murray was a very entertaining game out in the desert. Dolphins, Cardinals, and as John mentioned, yeah, Spliff Kingsbury is just – he's got mush between his ears. You know, Flores versus Kingsbury is a pretty one-sided matchup. And very entertaining game, though. Tua did a lot more last week than he did against the Rams. So I think he'll be all right. And then, Seattle, in the early game, yeah, they really need Russell to be an A-minus to an A-plus quarterback week to week, or else they're probably not going to win too many games, especially, you know, good teams that they go up against. And borrowing what the announcer said, it's like when the Bills got up, like, traditionally a team that's up in the second half probably going to, like, just run the ball. But since the Seahawks defense is that bad, Durham's like, let's just keep throwing because they can't stop it. And they didn't stop it. And I know some of the turnovers the Seahawks had were kind of like desperation, you know, 4th down. Russell's just trying to throw the ball away. But yeah, it was an ugly game. You think they'd regroup. Russell's all very positive. And let's see what else. I think that about covers it. Yeah, I watched obviously that Patriots Jet game. That was much higher score than a lot of people thought, myself included. And yeah, as Ron said, I thought the Ravens-Colts game would be a little more entertaining. It really wasn't. The Ravens scored, their defense scored, and just an entertaining and frustrating Sunday for sure. But they're not all going to be pretty.
True. I mean,
I'll add one more thing. I'll make Andy even more upset about that Bears loss. So at the end of that last drive, these teams have been doing all these analytics. So I thought when they scored there at the 24-10 to make it 24-16, Nagy would go for two to make it 24-18. And of course he does the conventional thing and kicks the extra point, and everyone's 6.5 is just completely done. Just to add salt in the wound by getting that touchdown, which is ridiculous.
There was no reason to go for one. Like, you still need to score twice in that scenario, don't you? Like,
especially when you have an offense that's just completely just limp. Like, you get the 2 points there. Like, so you only have to score another touchdown. I don't know. I go back and forth on that whole debate. But teams going down 14 late, like 95% of the time, have been going for two lately, and this dunce kicks the extra point.
This guy is something else. Nagy has just been annoying the entire season. So let's go ahead and segue from that to our picks of this coming week number 10, and we will begin with the guy who has been in first place much of the year, and that would be Ron in New Jersey. And Ron, as you prepare for the second half of the Western Michigan game, we're ready for your picks when you are.
All right, first pick I'm taking is the Titans -1 tomorrow night at home against the Colts. And maybe it's just because I had to sit through an entire Colts game last week, but their offense is horrendous. Phillip Rivers is past his prime. I mean, he's got to be put out to pasture. And I don't know, that number is just really, really low in my opinion. Titans are a good team, and you could see them getting a lead early and just riding Derrick Henry the whole time. So I'm going to take the Titans -1. And my second pick, I'm going to take the Dolphins -2.5 at home against Yates' Chargers. I know they find new ways to lose every week. But I kind of believe in the Dolphins this year. You know, they got something going down there. They have a really good defense. Tua, he's got – we've seen it since he started Alabama. He's got some sort of magic in him. But they're not a bad team. I know it'll be close, and Herbert will probably put up a ton of yards, but I think the Dolphins pull away at the end, and I like them -2.5 at home.
Very good. Thanks so much for the picks, Ron. And now we go from Ron's picks to my own picks, and trying to come off of a 3-1 last week. It's a really, really good week. I'm very happy about it. So let's go with these picks. Here we go. Okay, why don't we start by selecting a team that's playing at home. I'm talking very slowly because I've really struggled to pick my favorite picks because I like all the games that I have here. But I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go with the Browns giving 3 against Houston, I believe it is. And this is easy for me. Houston just came off a win. The Browns had a pretty rough loss against the Raiders. I think they were coming off of a bye, so they're rested. And the winds in this game are going to be crazy. It's going to be like 17, 18 mile an hour winds. So I feel like the team that can run the ball better will do a better job in this game. Houston cannot run the ball worth a crap. They are bad. Like that guy, David Johnson, he stinks. So between them and, Chubb or Hunt or whoever they have for the Browns, I think the Browns are going to do a much better job in that arena. So passing will be will be less of a factor in that game. So we're going to go Browns -3, game number one. Game two. Andy made the comment about having to watch 6 hours of Giants football, but I'm going to have to watch at least 3 because I love the Giants getting 3.5 at home against the Eagles. Hey, listen, this Giant defense actually looks pretty good. Like, they looked very good when they were playing, who were they playing? I think it was Tampa Bay. Yeah, they were hanging around in that game. And I got to give it to them. I think they've looked good. And then the same thing against Washington. They were playing pretty well, holding them down for 3 quarters. I mean, Washington made a little bit of a comeback to get it to within 3, and then they still lost. But Giant defense looks pretty good. Same thing in the Giants' previous matchup against the Eagles. I mean, that was like a 24-22 game. It was a low-scoring game. I think this is a very good situation for the Giants at home. So Giants plus 3.5 to go with Browns minus 3 for week 10 in the NFL. All right. So that's what I have. And let's see what John has. John, we're ready for your picks.
All right, Dave. For the first game, I'm going to keep fading this Seattle defense, and I'm going to go with the Rams minus 1.5 at home. If you look at the history of these two teams, since McVay and Goff have taken over, they have a very good record against the Seahawks. They've won 5 out of the last 6 games, and in those games, the Rams have scored 42, 33, 36, 30, and 28 points. So whatever scheme they have drawn up or whatever formations they're crafting, it's been working pretty well so far against the Seahawks. And that was even when Seattle had an okay defense. And as we know this year, they're just completely just decimated, whether it be poor play or injury. It's just not working. The Rams obviously coming off a bye week as well. And they have the kind of team that gives Wilson a lot of trouble with their great defensive line. And I just think it's a bad matchup for Seattle. And we're going to take the Rams here minus 1.5 for the first pick. For the second pick, this will be no surprise to anybody. We're going to continue our fade of Kingsbury as a favorite. We will go with Buffalo plus 2 in Arizona. I get it. Like, there could be a little bit of a letdown factor for Buffalo, but just a 53-yard field goal. That wasn't good. So Buffalo plus 2 at Arizona. The coaching matchup here is so in favor of Buffalo. Murray's going to get his. I don't think the Buffalo defense has been great this year, but I think at the end of the day, I just trust Buffalo more at the end of the game, to make the right decisions and win this. So give me Buffalo plus 2. I'm actually kind of surprised it's not reverse, like Buffalo minus 2. So Buffalo plus 2, Rams minus 1.5 for my picks week 10.
All right. Thank you, John. That field goal that EMU missed could be haunting. We'll keep an eye on that one as we go along tonight in the action. Okay, Andy, we are ready for your picks when you are.
Yeah, I think I got EMU plus 8. I think that's the line. But anyway, the picks here, game number one, I'm going to fade the Bucks, and we're going to take Carolina getting 5.5 from Tampa Bay. Nothing really X's and O's here. It's just Tampa is lucky to get by a hapless Giants team. You know, the Giants have covered 3 weeks in a row. And Tampa looked really bad against the Saints, as we all saw with our eyes on Sunday. And, I don't think the Panthers this year were expected to be great, but they cover. We love Teddy Bridgewater. We like Matt Rhule. I think McCaffrey is questionable or maybe even doubtful. All that to say, they played their asses off against Kansas City last week. If Sly doesn't miss that one field goal, there's a good chance they win that game. And I need to see Tampa Bay right their ship before we go back to betting them. So give me Carolina getting 5.5 for game number one. This idea, and also known as Mo Ginsburg on Twitter, is already wanting to know Ron's pick. So he'll be on the horn about that tomorrow. So honestly, Ron's second pick, I was going to go there. So then I was going to take the Giants, but Dave went there. So my third, and I know we could do checker on a checker, but for the interest and purpose of keeping things interesting, I'm going to take the Vikings on the road, giving 2.5 to the Bears. My little rant earlier is, we have no love for the Bears. And I know the Vikings started the season really bad, but I don't know, maybe now they're getting on a little run. They had a surprising win against the Packers. And then they looked pretty good against the Lions last week. I know Stafford got hurt, but Matt Stafford wasn't, letting Dalvin Cook, run for all those yards. And yeah, Dalvin Cookie, he's been really good. As Mike Francesa said, He's been good since he was at Florida State, if you've been paying attention. So I don't know how far this Vikings team can go, but I do think they can go on a little bit of a run. The Bears, I think they were lucky to get to 5-1. Again, great defense, but that offense has some liabilities. And as we just discussed, Matt Nagy is no rocket scientist, and Mike Zimmer does think he's a rocket scientist sometimes. So I think there's a big coaching edge with Minnesota. So Vikings minus 2.5, and we'll take Matt Rhule and the Panthers getting 5.5 against Tampa, week 10.
Thanks very much, Andy. And guys, good luck to your NFL picks as we get into the weekend. Hopefully most of these games, if not all of them, are played. So let's look ahead to the week in NFL coming up. And a quick note on the guest picks. We don't technically have them yet, but I have recruited my friend Coach to send some in. I think we'll have them in by the end of the week, so hopefully we'll have that going. It's just the recruiting process for guest picks was a little different this week because of the election, so I'm a little behind on that area. So let's go ahead and look at our featured games. Not going to be quite as exciting as last week, but there's some good ones. I mean, Bills-Cardinals could be, you know, it could be a real train wreck, but for good reason. It could be a really high-scoring game. And you guys alluded to it earlier, the Colts and the Titans game. I don't know. I mean, Deron likes the Titans. I do too, probably. But I will say this. I think the Titan defense isn't really that good. So I expect it as well, but I would not be surprised if the Colts won the game. Ravens-Patriots, that's a pop for Andy there. You know, 8-20. Yeah, the Patriots came off of kind of an amazing win, really, if you think about it, but just the way that they were looking for a while. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots won that game. You know what? I think they could do it. So let me go back to Andy, and let's get your thoughts on this week's action. I got a little treat for you as you do it, Andy.
Yeah, thanks. Obviously, with we got a good Thursday game on paper, so we'll be paying attention to that with whatever college game's on tomorrow. Obviously, we've got the Augusta situation, so none of these early games, I don't think I'm going to be watching. We talked about this like 2 months ago. Like, I might not have any – I'll have the computer on the NFL, and I'll have the big TV on the golf, just looking at these other games. I mean, Eagles-Giants, maybe we'll pay attention to that. But then after Augusta, including those games you just discussed, I mean, I'm really into that Bills – Cardinals game. Obviously, we'll have to be into that Seahawks-Rams game. I think with the Dolphins playing the way they are, and they probably are going to get in a playoff spot. So, and the Chargers, you know, they could easily be 6-2, but they're 2-6. So that's an entertaining game. And then, the SNF game, obviously, you know, being a homer, I'll probably end up betting the Patriots like a clown. And then, I think you might see a lot of high scoring games in that 4 o'clock hour because, you know, I think the Seahawks in the Rams game has potential to have a ton of points. I can just close my eyes now though, and just see like Russell Wilson just like running for his life time and time again. And then, who knows? I would probably even take San Francisco because if there's any team that's like prone to letdowns besides like your Steelers, Dave, it's the Saints. And the Saints probably think they're the best team on this earth. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with San Francisco not really being San Francisco this year, they might just kind of let the foot off the gas pedal a bit and maybe let the 49ers hang around. So on paper, we've got some really entertaining games after Augusta on Sunday.
Yep, and I agree. I'm going to focus the majority of my attention on the golf. For those of you on YouTube, you're seeing that I've included the 506 Sports coverage maps on the screen just to give you an idea of what's being televised where. And so as we do that, let's go look at these featured games again. And let's go back to Ron and let's get your look at the action.
Yeah, I mean, if we thought the 1 o'clock window last week was bad, I mean, this week it might actually be worse. Look at those games. So we got Tampa Bay and Carolina, which is okay. But who else was, I mean, Philly and the Giants, they just played 2 weeks ago. I have no, like Andy said, I've watched so much of the Giants the past 2 weeks. I don't want to watch them again. Well, what's the alternative? The Redskins and the Lions? I mean, Jesus Christ. Just an awful 1 o'clock slate. But the 4 o'clock games look really promising. Like Andy said, I mean, Buffalo and Arizona is a game that I'll get into for sure. Seattle and the Rams is a good matchup. I know the 49ers aren't the 49ers, but still, you know, we always have the Saints game on in my house because my wife likes them. So that'll be a game to get into. So, yeah, I mean, just it's probably a good week to watch some golf early in the afternoon and skip those 1 o'clock games and then get into it later in the day. But, you know, it's it'll be fun. And I actually got a correction to my pick, Dave. The Titans are actually plus one at home against the Colts.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm still taking them. Plus one, minus one, doesn't matter. I'm taking them to win outright. So
that's a good break for you.
Yeah, it's a little interesting that line. But yeah, I'll take it, and I'll take the Titans plus one. And yeah, I look forward to Sunday, at least the second half of Sunday.
Yeah, certainly. And on that note, you know, talking about television coverage, you're not going to have a Nance and Romo game, naturally. Nance will be at the Masters. And I looked at the 506 Sports assignments, you know, for CBS and Fox, and Romo is just not going to do a game. So he's just apparently going to have the week off, unless I just missed something. So let's go to John. Let's get your look at this week's action.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the NFL did a good job in coordinating their schedule, honestly, because, you know, I mean, we're all sports fans. Like, I honestly rather watch the Masters final round than like a crappy NFL slate, and they've set it up that way. I mean, the Packers are going to be on, but you know, I'll have it on like I think on like a computer, like a laptop or whatever, and then I'll put the Masters on the main screen. And I think it's the first time ever I can remember more games in like the second window than in the first window. I think you have 5 in the 1 o'clock, and then you have 6 in the 4 o'clock. I think that happens in week 17. I shouldn't say that. That's like just a crazy week where, you know, they move all the games that matter to the 4 o'clock. But in like a normal NFL week, it's like the first time ever I can remember having 6 games, having more games in the late window than in the early window. But yeah, everyone kind of went over the matchups pretty well. I picked those two games that should be pretty entertaining, the Rams game and then the Cardinals game. So yeah, I think, you know, we'll keep an eye on the NFL games, kind of the corner of our eye, and then, you know, the watch the golf. I think they're scheduling to finish around 3, and obviously that's there's no playoff. It could go a little bit longer, but you know, the final round tee time will be around 10. You go to around 3, and then, you know, you'll catch up with some NFL action after that for the 4 o'clock window. So, you know, hey, I mean, COVID's a horrible thing, but you know, if it keeps us inside watching Masters Sunday and then some NFL, you know, we'll take it.
Yeah, I love it. Yep. So it's about time for us to say good night for Andy. He's going to have to leave a little earlier tonight. So before I do, a couple things. Andy, let's get your picks we got to get your picks for college too. So let's do that. And then we'll get your picks for the Masters too, because I'm really interested to see who you like in the Masters tournament this weekend. Oh boy. Okay. There you go, Andy. Do we have you?
Hold on. We're good. I was just watching that Central Michigan Northern Illinois game, and that Central Michigan field goal didn't look good, but they called it good. I was trying to see on Twitter if anyone else was like talking about that, but it looked like the ball was like over the goal. I don't know. We'll find that out tomorrow. But college games, I'm gonna fade the Irish. And I hate the Eagles. I can't stand the Eagles, but I'm going to take BC getting 13.5. Just, I feel like everything went right for Notre Dame last Saturday night to get that win against Clemson. And I don't think Ian Book is going to. Ian Book had one of those, like, Bishop golfing in the rain and Caddyshack moments. Like, everything was clicking for Ian Book. And I think they're going to come back to earth a little bit against Boston College. So give me BC getting 13.5. I don't know anything about BC this year, but this is just anti-Notre Dame pro letdown. Let's see what happens. And then game number two, yeah, I don't – with the SEC just getting gutted from their, you know, the inventory-wise. And I'm going to take San Jose State. They've become a trendy pick within this little family. They're giving 15.5 to UNLV. And as John mentioned, the UNLV head coach very well might be the one guy that caused Justin Herbert to look like a very shaky NFL prospect while at Oregon, because he was the OC. And he doesn't really look like he's got his thing going on at UNLV yet. The UNLV's yet to cover. San Jose State's covered all three games that they've been in. So one team's 0-3 against the spread, one team's 3-0. With the spread, so something's got to give. Well, just give me San Jose State minus 15.5. I think their quarterback got hurt last week. Hopefully he's back. They didn't matter, he got hurt last week, but they still got the job done. So not sure what the quarterback situation's like with San Jose State. Probably should have looked, but they're favored by 15.5. So San Jose State minus 15.5, Boston College plus 13.5.
All right, and then for the Masters?
Masters, I bet Bryson plus 7, you know, Bryson 7-1. Just because I don't like him, but everyone's saying he's going to desecrate the course. The fact that he drove the third hole with the 3-wood is scary. And then I took espresso or Francesco Molinari 6-1 to come in the top 10. And then obviously from a heart standpoint, I'd like to see Rory win, but objectively speaking, like with money, I bet on Bryson.
I guess that, that's not a bad bet at all. Definitely. Just funny that both of us were like giving him no shot.
He looks like, I read this the other day, he looks like he swallowed a third grader. So.
I guess he did get bigger after all. That's funny. All right. So great stuff, Andy. Thanks for joining us again tonight. And enjoy the Masters and everything else this weekend.
All right. See everybody on the internet.
And good luck.
See you later.
Good night,
Andy. Bye. All right. That's Andy in Seattle. Before we continue with our college segment, let's get some predictions from the two of you, too. So, John, let's get your predictions for the Masters this weekend.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It should be a great tournament. I didn't actually make any bets yet, but I did do my FanDuel lineup. I don't know if I want to share the information because I think both of you guys are in the duel this week, right?
Yep.
I don't know.
Like,
oh, you aren't. Oh, geez, it filled up before you could get in. Oh man, you're one of the top duelers too.
Oh man,
I think the last three or four golf duels I was in, I finished like in last place, I told myself like I'm just throwing away money at this point. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah, I felt that way when I was doing the baseball ones. And I was like, why am I just wasting $5 or $10 bucks every time? So stick to the golf and NFL when they're set up. But
yeah,
I mean, it's hard not to like Dustin Johnson or Xander Schauffele. Those would probably be my top two for this event. I mean, you know, Bryson, it's interesting. Like, they're saying he's going to just dominate the course. Like, yeah, he can hit it really far. But the weakness in his game is his short irons and his putting. And that's what you need at Augusta. You'd be so pinpoint on your second shots and then around the greens. And that's his weakness. So he's definitely going to like be in contention, but I would not pick him to win. A couple of the, like the longer shots that I like, Andy's gone, but one of his favorites, Lee Westwood, I think he's up there in age, but he has some great course history here. He's been playing well in Europe. I think he could finish in the top 15, top 20. I think that's a potential good bet. Two other guys, Jason Kokrak, who just won a month ago at the tournament in Vegas. He hits it really long. He can score well on those par fives, which is what you need to do at Augusta. I think he can, I'm not going to say he's going to win, but like a top 20 kind of bet. Same thing with Cameron Smith from Australia. Great ball striking. And again, not to win, but maybe like a top 20 bet. So I pretty much just gave you my FanDuel lineup right there. But hey, whatever. And I guess one other guy, Tony Finau. Again, I'm not going to say he's going to win because he never wins these big tournaments, but you could see him shooting like a 66 on Sunday to finish fourth. I mean, that's just kind of what he does. And it's all about the par fives on this course, and he dominates par five. So I would say Xander or DJ to win. And then those other guys I mentioned, I like for like top 20, top 15 kind of bets. So those would be my picks. I think Tiger will make the cut, but I don't think he's going to do anything of significance. I'm into like a top 30. I think the people, wanting a lot of Tiger this week, I think are going to be disappointed. So that's kind of my quick thoughts on the Masters.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. It's a great setup. Now, Ron, let me just get your picks anyway. Do you have anybody that you think off the top of your head that could win the Masters?
I mean, when I was doing the golf duels and I actually was doing well, the two guys that I always hit on were Bryson and Xander. And, if I was doing it this week, those would be the two guys I try to fit into my lineup. Off the top of my head, I would take one of those guys and roll with it. But outside of that, I don't really have any insights or long shots or anybody like that. But I'll definitely be watching this weekend, that's for sure. And it might be a little bit more enjoyable that I don't have any money or stakes on it. So it should be enjoyable.
I'm with you on that. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a very interesting dynamic to see how November weather works with a course like Augusta. So a lot of unprecedented stuff in this. It'll be great. So John and I will be back next week we're back next week anyway. We're going to do a football show, but we're going to be joined by Mike next week for that. And, it'll be fun. We should be.
Eastern Michigan just hit like an 80-yard pass. So I'm very happy to see that.
Oh, nice.
Tie this up unless they're going to rule this. He might be like a half yard short though. But anyway, they're on the 1 yard line.
They'll be all right. Yeah. Well, the thing you worry about is if he fumbled it into the end zone. That's the only thing you worry
about. Oh, my God. I know. I'm so scared of that. Like, you just get one ref to say, like, he just lost possession, and then they just overturn it. But I think he's down at the one.
That's significant in another area because I have the over in the game. So I'm hoping that at least puts it at the one. And then, yeah, that's a pretty good spot. And that's fine because, gee whiz, look what's happening with Northern Illinois. They didn't even show up. 19-0. That's a rough one, but we'll keep following it. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Should be a fun hybrid show like we did for the U.S. Open. We'll do it again for the Masters. So let's continue our coverage of football and go to the college action, which, as we were talking about, was great. Like, the game of the year was Clemson-Notre Dame, and give it to Notre Dame. I mean, I hate Notre Dame. I'm a USC fan, so I'm never going to root for them, but got to give them a lot of credit. They played great. I mean, they took that thing to double overtime, and they won. The fan fit situation after that was unfortunate. That should not have happened. They should not have let fans on the field. That is ridiculous. I don't even know why there are that many fans there, but let's not get into that now. Let's just talk about the action on the field. It was a fun Saturday, and let's go to Ron, and let's get your thoughts on last week's action.
Yeah, leading up to that Clemson-Notre Dame game, Dave, it seemed like every game that I was watching ended up being a blowout. I watched Florida-Georgia, which you thought on paper was going to be a really close game. And Georgia just doesn't have the offense this year. They don't have a good quarterback. I don't know, maybe you know better than I do, Dave, with JT Daniels, but why he's not playing with Georgia. I think he was hurt, but man, he's, they have no real quarterback for that team, and they just got steamrolled by Florida. I was watching the Michigan-Indiana game too.
Oh, man.
And, I know this is like an anomaly of a year, and a lot of programs probably won't be moving on from their coaches, regardless of what happens, because it was really a crapshoot this year. And I'm sure with the financial structures and stuff like that, and, the loss of money that they're experiencing, they probably don't want to eat salary and look for somebody else. But if there's ever a big name coach to go, it's got to be Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he is, it's almost like he's just playing out the string there. I'd be shocked if he comes back next year. And I mean, I was thinking about it before, actually, and who would even who would they even look at to take over for him that would be a big enough name? And the two guys that jump out at me are Matt Campbell from Iowa State, you know, who's the little girl with the curls the past couple of years, and Luke Fickell from Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati's legit. He turned them into a legit team, and, you know, he's got the history there since he was on the Ohio State staff. So, but I can't see Harbaugh being there next year. I mean, how do you justify bringing him back? I mean, the team just looks lost. You know, so I watched that and I watched, I was into actually the Penn State Maryland game early on, and Penn State's another team. They just got the doors blown off them by Maryland, and they're 0-3 and really haven't, outside of that first game that they lost against Indiana, haven't been putting up a fight. So, you know, it was surprising to say the least. And you know, I know Franklin's not going to be fired, but I mean, there's going to be definitely like a growing upswell there to get rid of him. You know, what other games were there? You popped it up. Yeah, I mean, and the Clemson-Notre Dame game, when you go to that one, I mean, that was just fun to watch. And especially, like, you know, I'm not a big Notre Dame guy, and I'm not a big Notre Dame hater. And I do enjoy Dabo Sweeney and Clemson. So to me, it was just like a fun game to get into. I didn't have any money on it. If I did, I did actually have Notre Dame plus 5.5. So, I mean, that looked good, you know, the entire game. So I wasn't really worried about it, but that was a fun game to watch, man. And another game that I was watching was Arkansas and Tennessee. You know, Arkansas ran them over, and Jeremy Pruitt, we know he's a Mongo. We know he's, you know, he's just ooga booga. We've known it since the day he was hired, but we're seeing it come to fruition now. But the one thing that I took, and I wrote about this today on the board, the one thing I took away from the end of that Arkansas-Tennessee game was they did a post-game interview with Sam Pittman, the coach of Arkansas. And, you know, he takes off his mask, does the interview. And as soon as, like, the interview's over, they show him going over to, like, a crowd of alumni students.
Oh, no.
Hundreds of them. Oh, and starts, like, giving out hugs and high fives.
That explains it.
And then 2 days later, you hear that he tested positive for coronavirus. And, you know, it's something that just stuck in my head watching it live. I'm just, like, thinking to myself, like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? And and 2 days later, he tests positive for the virus. So, I mean, it just, you know, Mongos are going to Mongo. And, you know, you could put in as many restrictions in this world as you want. But when it comes down to it, people are just idiots.
Is that what, I'm glad you caught that. I was like, dude, that's crazy. Like, you get a big win like that, and you just... That explains.
He didn't care. He just didn't care. He
really didn't. That's right. No. I mean, that is unbelievable. All right, John, let's get your... Well, before we get into you, John, I did have to give a shout-out to the Pac-12 for trying something very bold, and I hated it when they did it. Like, I hated the idea of scheduling a 9 a.m. game between Arizona State and USC, but I knew this matchup was going to be a good matchup, and it was a great game.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And Dave, can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
How is Chip Kelly still the coach at UCLA?
That's a great question.
Oh, my God.
Colorado on paper might be
the worst Power 5
football team. Their quarterback, Colorado's quarterback, was playing safety last year.
Unbelievable. You must have lost money on UCLA, too. I thought that was a no-brainer, UCLA -7. Unbelievable. Colorado hired Carl Durrell. Sorry, Carl Durrell, who used to coach UCLA like what 15 years ago. I didn't even know if he was still coaching football. And they hired this guy to be their head coach. They probably had no prep. They hired him after Mel Tucker left. After signing day. So then COVID hit. So they probably had no practices or anything. And they're just blowing UCLA off the field. It was just, it was unbelievable. I could not believe that happened. But I digress. Yeah, that 9 a.m. game was fun, Dave.
Yeah.
And poor Herm Edwards.
Yeah, that sucks for Perm. I mean, those kids played their butts off, and it was a great game. And just the onside kick kind of killed them. Like, they couldn't figure out what to do after that, and everything just collapsed at that point. I mean, certainly you can't say that's tough to come back from. But I'll have more comments on the USC side of it. But the 28-27 win, it was exciting. Yeah, so Good job out of the Pac-12, I guess. And I'd be happy to have another 9 a.m. game down the road. I think you saw the buzz on Twitter. That was the big thing. Like, I saw, like, everybody was commenting on it in the morning. So that's probably the intended aim seems to be working. So, John, let me give it back to you, and let's get your recap of the rest of the college.
Yeah, region. I mean, I personally is – I mean, I'm not – I don't live on the West Coast. So, you know, I would probably have gotten up to watch the game if I was a fan of the team at 9 o'clock anyway, like when I'm out there. Like for Vegas, I mean, I love watching the games at 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., but like to make it an every week thing, like I don't think that would be great. You know, maybe like once in a while or once a season, I could see that would for college anyway. And you know, you can't really do anything if you're a fan of an NFL team and they're playing on the East Coast, but to schedule like a West Coast game like at 9 a.m., I think that's like a once a year kind of thing. I mean, it worked out well. I mean, they got a great game out of it, but. Yeah, that Notre Dame Clemson game. I mean, you know, it just like you guys were saying, like the game of the year so far, and you know, Clemson, they're going to be all set even when Lawrence graduates. That guy DJ, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, but you know who I'm talking about. I mean, he was phenomenal. I mean, even their third stringer, he has another crazy last name. It starts with a P. He's a player too, and his brother actually is committed to UConn. So. You know, get my one UConn plug in there for the year, but yeah, no, you know, it was interesting that one play where they called pass interference on Clemson, and then Dabo Swinney literally gets in the ref's face and starts screaming, and then they pick up the flag. That was just crazy. I couldn't believe that, but you know, they were missing some defensive players, and Notre Dame, they took advantage. I mean, they went down the field when they had to and got the game tying touchdown, and they win it in overtime. I mean, this by no means eliminates Clemson from the college football playoff. I think anyone would be stupid to say that. You know, it's likely these two teams are going to meet again in the ACC championship game. And if Trevor Lawrence is back, we're going to assume Trevor Lawrence is back for that game, and they somehow win. I mean, you could have both teams in the playoff, assuming Notre Dame doesn't slip up between now and the end of the season. I like Andy's pick of Boston College. I mean, if there's ever a letdown game, you know, this is the perfect one for Notre Dame this week, you know, playing at Boston College after that win. But yeah, that was just a tremendous game to watch. Let me see some of the other action I can mention. You know, Georgia, you know, they always talk about getting by on their great defense. Well, in the two biggest games of the year, you know, Alabama and Florida just, you know, destroyed them. They destroyed their great defense. And, you know, Georgia is pretty much eliminated from, I would say, contention with two losses now. You know, BYU continues their march to, I don't even know if they can get into the playoff at this point. I mean, it's going to be close. It's tough because they haven't really played anyone. That Boise State team is probably the best team they're going to play all year. But the problem is Boise State was down to the third quarterback on Friday night. So you really can't take much of anything from that. And you know what they should do? BYU should call Cincinnati, and they should play a game like after, if say Cincinnati wins the AAC championship, they should play a game after the AAC championship. Both teams would be like ranked number 7 and 6, and they should play if they're both undefeated. That would be pretty interesting. You know, I you know that might solve some problems for the selection committee. And yeah, I guess the only other game here that I'll touch on, Liberty beating Va Tech. I mean, that was pretty surprising. It was a crazy ending too. Like, they blocked a field goal, but the coach had called the timeout. So then Liberty ends up getting another chance and just drills the field goal. So you have the following teams in the top 25 right now. You know, you have Liberty, Coastal, BYU, Cincinnati, Marshall. I mean, it's just a crazy year. I mean, that's just 2020 for you.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll mention, you guys touched on some of the teams that are really struggling. Like, you know, all off season and even, you know, all throughout this season, all the coaches preached about being like a tight-knit family. We're going to take COVID seriously, and we're going to get it done. Well, like, now that these teams are completely – like, Penn State's season is over, basically. They're 0-3. They're going nowhere. They got, like, what, 3 games left. Like, you can see, like, COVID spreading now, like, because these teams don't really care anymore. Like, their season's over. Like, let's go out and party, basically. And, like, how much are these teams going to care after losing the first few games? It's an interesting thing to think about, and as well when you're looking at handicapping, like which teams are going to pack it in for the season. So should be a interesting last month or so in terms of what games actually get played, and you know, who actually cares when they do get played.
Yeah, wow. I mean, wow, You know, I hate to hear that, but it is the reality of it. And these are just college kids, and they probably don't know any better. But it's not unexpected. So, yeah, I think you're right on the football level, too. Like, a lot of teams could be packing it in. And as you mentioned, John, you alluded to this. We are now seeing the end result of that. You know, Halloween, I'm sure there are parties, which you shouldn't even be doing parties like that, right? Like, not in the hundreds and so on, but it's probably happening. And 8 games so far, postponed or canceled. Number of them in the Big Ten, 4 of them in the SEC. It's pretty rough. I'll give it to Ron for any thoughts on that before we get into this week's action.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's almost the entire SEC schedule this week is wiped out, right? And, yeah. You know, old baby on the board today, you know, he made a good point, and I know a lot of people don't like him, but, you know, he said, wow, what a surprise, you know, a conference that plays down south. And
you knew, you know, that was coming, right?
within states that don't take the virus seriously, right, all of a sudden have all these outbreaks. And it's the truth, you know, and you're right. It probably all ties back to Halloween and Halloween parties. And it sucks because, you know, the SEC was rolling along, you know, pretty well for a while. And I know I've said this before on the show, but, you know, the first couple of weeks when it was just like the ACC and like, you know, a couple other teams scattered in there, there was no juice. You know, when you throw the SEC in the mix, I mean, it's like instant juice. So, you know, it was it's a shame to see all the cancellations like that. And I think John brings up a great point. I mean, you're going to see a lot of teams now who, you know, either the kids are going to, you know, who are draft eligible are going to pull themselves out these last few weeks and say, like, screw it. You know, why am I going to screw around here and get hurt? Or you're just going to see teams just fall apart and not show up. So, yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. And he's right. Penn State is, like, you know, one of the teams I would definitely watch for it. And believe it or not, and I don't want to like hype them up too much, but you know, when it comes to, it seems like every week Rutgers is that plays, they have like some huge spread against them. You know, they're actually the reverse. I think Shiano's going to have them playing hard the rest of the year. You know, they're really young. If that Ohio State game was last year, they would have lost by 60. And, you know, they kept it relatively close for them. I think they lost by 22. So, you know, in terms of betting these, and yeah, I can't bet on Rutgers here in New Jersey, but, you know, I would monitor the lines in those Rutgers games the last month. And, you know, if there's ever, you know, another crazy, you know, 25 point line, I would think Rutgers is a good shot to cover.
You know, it's a real shame that the Maryland game got canceled because I was going to be all over Maryland in that game. They were
me too.
Plus 25. Yeah.
Yep. Me too.
You know, Tua's brother looks good, right?
They're not a terrible team, and he's going to be a player. And I think they have just enough juice that they could have kept it within 3 touchdowns or so with Ohio State. I thought that was an easy play. Yeah. I was really, you know, I was upset when they canceled that, but, you know, it is what it is.
It is. Follow
up. Yeah, I agree. I would have been on that, too. And it's crazy. The first week, they couldn't have looked any worse. They lost, like, 45-3 to Northwestern. So it just goes to show you, like, the improvement some of these teams can make over the course of the season.
Yeah. Follow up for you, John. Do you think that the Arkansas game will get played? Because Arkansas is at Florida. And with Pittman being COVID.
I mean, as of now, I think it's still being played. I mean, I would say it's more so the players that they're concerned about. Not to say they're not concerned about him, but I'm just saying in terms of how, like, how it spreads, basically. I don't know. Like, I haven't seen anything that says it's not going to be played. I mean, remember Saban got it, and obviously he ended up coaching that weekend. But I think there's a couple other coaches that had it and were sidelined. So as of now, I would say that's probably still going to be played unless there's a huge outbreak within one of the – you know, with the players at Arkansas, that would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason I bring that up is because I love Arkansas in that game otherwise. And I feel like if Pittman cannot coach the game, that wouldn't affect my choice in that game, in that scenario. But Ron's timeline seems to suggest that they can probably carry on the game, provided that nobody else is infected. So I can give you a shot to assess that too, Ron.
Yeah, I think they're going to play. I think they already ruled out that that Pittman's not going to be there. And the defensive coordinator is going to be the coach for Arkansas. I forget who it is. It's a guy who was a coach before.
Yeah, Barry Odom. He was at Missouri.
There you go. Yep.
Number of years. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's continue then, and we'll go look at the week ahead. And again, all of this is subject to change. I'm going to make that clear. So and that goes for the picks too. So before we do, actually let's take a look at the top 10. Again, this is going to be fluid all year, but I think the top five will be about the same. The one that I don't agree with, Texas A&M. I don't know. I mean, look, they're doing their job, but I don't think of them as a top five team yet. So we'll see. So let's go look at the featured games. And honestly, I looked at it and then I looked at it again. There really isn't a featured game. What you're looking at is potential traps. And Andy pointed out a great one with Notre Dame and Boston College. That's a really good call. Boston College and Chestnut Hill, that could be a tricky game. East Carolina, Cincinnati, Arkansas, Florida. We can spend a moment to talk about the upcoming action. And John, I'll go back to you and I'll get your thoughts on the week ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the COVID wiped out basically all the top five teams that are playing. It's a rough weekend. Obviously, you know, I'm going to have some bets in on some of these games. But in terms of like a great matchup, I mean, the closest thing you have to a game with any juice is Notre Dame and Boston College. I think I mentioned before, I would agree with Andy's pick of BC just for the pure letdown factor. I mean, BC's been playing much better this year with their new coach. And I think Tommy mentions it every week about how Jurkovic transferred from Notre Dame to BC. So this is pretty much I guess you could call it a revenge game, or, you know, he knows the Notre Dame, you know, program very well. So that's the kind of, I guess, the closest you have to, I guess, a game of juice. I mean, Wisconsin and Michigan could be interesting on Saturday night, assuming that gets played. I mean, Wisconsin's missed the last two games because of COVID. We're assuming that Graham Mertz is going to be back. He looked just tremendous in their first game against Illinois. So we'll see if they can put a further nail into Jim Harbaugh's coffin and win that game on Saturday night. Those are the only two games that I got for you with like juice. Obviously, I'm going to watch some of these and bet some of these and, you know, give you my picks. But in terms of like a casual fan watching, like I think those are the only two that I got for you to kind of highlight for this weekend.
I mean, this has worked out for the Masters because they have very little.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'll be focusing on there. Ron, any other thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with John. I mean, there's not a lot to pick from this week. You know, we'll certainly be watching Notre Dame and BC. I would love to see Boston College win, to be honest with you. You know, just to throw a little wrench in the whole system. But that's one to watch. And yeah, I mean, the Saturday night game is Wisconsin, Michigan. Hopefully it gets played. You know, by all accounts, it should. And you know, for having just the second week of the Pac-12, I mean, there's not a lot of good matchups this week. Not a lot of juicy matchups there. You have USC and Arizona, which, I mean, USC should cakewalk through that game.
We think they should walk through there. I'm going to get to that.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah. And, I think, you know, there's not a lot there. But, you know, like you guys have said, it kind of actually works out well because you could pay more attention to the Masters and get into that and just have the college games on in the background. Hope there's a couple exciting endings and flip it on and enjoy it that way.
Yep, yep. John, really quickly, what did you get for the Eastern Michigan game as far as the point spread?
Eight. So I'm hoping there's no crazy laterals and shit thrown over their heads than on a kickoff return, like has been known to happen. So we want this game to end right now.
I agree. I am in a similar situation. So with that, let's go and get the picks for week whatever in college football. Let's go. All right, here we go. We're going to start this off with Ron's picks. And it'll be interesting to see whether he goes checker with Andy's pick or not. Ron, you have the floor. We're ready for your picks.
Well, let me tell you, I loved Andy's pick of San Jose State minus 15 and a half. I'm not going to take that, but I love that, and I'll be playing that. UNLV is a horrendous team, and their quarterback, even though the San Jose State quarterback, Nick Starkle, is a game-time decision, UNLV's quarterback is out, so I think that offsets it. I love that pick, though. My two picks are going to be, I'm going to start with Minnesota plus 3.5 at home against Iowa. I don't believe in Iowa. I know they won after that, you know, tough opening week loss, but Minnesota is still a decent team. They're at home. They're given 3.5. I like them to win outright. So that's pick number one. And pick number two, I'm going to take Wake Forest plus 13.5. on the road against North Carolina. North Carolina is a good team, don't get me wrong, but Wake Forest is a sneaky good team, and they've been playing really well the past couple weeks. I don't know if they'll win outright, but I definitely think they could keep it within two touchdowns. Wake Forest is a good team, and they don't get a lot of credit for it. And their coach, Dave Clawson, is another guy who I wouldn't be shocked to see him, you know, get a bigger job down the road here. So those are my two picks. I'm going to take Minnesota plus 3.5 and Wake Forest plus 13.5.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Boy, it's up. It is now my turn for picks, and I have been just going back and forth in this little ping pong match with myself trying to figure out that second pick. But the first pick is easy. We're going to do that immediately. All right. Game number one is going to be Arizona getting 14 at home against USC. This is just the, again, this is the team that habitually cannot put anybody away. This is a team that makes a lot of mistakes. They have a lot of penalties, and it's just a team that you will never trust in a big spot or even a little spot like this one. So I think that USC will win the game, but I don't think they're going to win by more than 14. So we're going to go Arizona plus 14 at home to defend the home turf a little bit until they ultimately lose to the Trojans later on. So that's game number one. All right, so now I got to make a call on game number two. So this is going to be very interesting. Okay, so we're going to do this. We are going to take Arkansas plus 17 at Florida. And I liked this from the beginning of the week until I found out that Sam Pittman got the COVID. But I still like it. I think that's a lot of points, and I think a lot of people are overbuying on Florida after what they did to Georgia. I mean, Florida played great. I mean, no question about it. Kyle Trask probably had his best game of the season, and they just racked up, 45 points on Georgia, who everybody claimed was a great defense. Didn't look that great on that day. But it just seems like a letdown is inevitable here against a team that has done extremely well against the spread. Arkansas has just been good at covering every game this year. They've even won a couple, including the one against Tennessee we talked about over the weekend. So our picks, Arkansas plus 17 to go with Arizona plus 14. That is 31 points of value between two teams against guys that might be having a letdown coming up in this week in college football. All right, so with that done, let's go to John in Connecticut, and let's get your picks.
All right, Dave. So my first pick, I'm going to take Michigan State plus 7 at home against Indiana. When you threw up that graphic there before about the top 10 of the top 10 teams, Indiana is in the rank of the top 10, which, you know, it's crazy to think about. So when you look at their three wins, all right, they had that crazy comeback against Penn State, you know, where they drove down the field late, got it to overtime, and then went for two on the first possession. But in that game, they were outgained by over 250 yards. So it was kind of a little bit of a fluke win. Their second game, they played Rutgers, and, you know, they won by 15 or 16 points. It was a solid win, but, and I know Rutgers has improved, but they're not exactly a bowl caliber kind of team. And then their third week, they beat up on struggling Michigan, as we know is kind of a fraudulent team this year with Harbaugh. So basically what I'm trying to say is, I don't think they're that good. I mean, they're a good, solid team. They're very well coached. I like Tom Allen, but I don't think they're quite as good of a top 10 team. And I think they're getting a little bit too overhyped. And especially in this game, you know, in Michigan State, it's the perfect buy low, sell high kind of spot for both teams. And with Michigan State coming off a 49-7 loss, it was very similar to their first game against Rutgers, where they had 5 turnovers. In this game against Iowa, they had 4. They had like 2 pick sixes. So as long as they don't turn the ball over, which I know is a big ask, I think they can keep this game close with their defense. So give me Michigan State +7 for the first pick. And the second pick, the only reason I'm taking this is because the line makes no sense. Sometimes you have to do one of those things. So give me Virginia Tech -2 against Miami. So again, Miami's ranked in the top 10 in the AP, number 9. I've been burned a number of times with Virginia Tech this year, so they might do it again. But when you see a line like this, I mean, you just have to bite at it. You know, Miami, other than the Clemson game, you know, they were destroyed pretty handily in that. But their schedule's been pretty weak. And La Tech definitely is talented enough if they show up to get this win. And I think they'll be a little more motivated, especially after that loss to Liberty. And they might have been looking ahead to this game. So just based on pure just betting the number here, give me Vatek -2, Michigan State +7. Those are the picks for week 11.
All right, thank you very much, John. And good luck to both of you on your college picks this coming weekend. We'll repeat Andy's picks briefly here for all of you in case you missed it earlier in the program. Andy's picks were game number 1. He is going with San Jose State giving 15.5 at home against UNLV. This is the Fade Arroyo principle, and it seems to have been working for a number of us so far. Game number 2 for Andy in Seattle was Boston College getting 13.5 at home against Notre Dame. The letdown factor will be enormous for Notre Dame, and we'll see if they have enough to cover. Andy does not believe they will. So to repeat for Andy, San Jose State -15.5 and Boston College +13.5 for college football in week number 11. And just to give you a quick reminder, we will get some picks from Coach Andrew Jacobson. He will bring those in to us on DidCow.com. That'll be coming up in the days ahead. Hopefully not too long from now, ideally tomorrow. If not, then Friday. We should have them, though, before Saturday, certainly. So that's it for our show tonight, as for the most part. So we'll give it to everybody for final thoughts. And let's go back to Ron, and let's get your final thoughts of the evening.
Yeah, you know, I'm just happy that we have college football to watch on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And, you know, we have the Masters coming up and you know, get to watch football on this coming weekend, because, you know, the past week and a half has just been completely insane and draining. And it's nice every once in a while to be able to tune in to the TV at night and have some sports as a distraction. So, you know, I'm thankful that the Mac is playing. I'm thankful that we got the Masters this weekend and some football, and I look forward to it.
Yep, and hopefully most of those games that are remaining can still be played. I'm looking forward to that too. So, John, let's give you two for final thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, every week that we go and get a semblance of a normal week, I mean, I know there's going to be interruptions. You know, we're not going to expect 100% of the games to be played at this point every week, but every week that we go and there's not like 30 postponements, I think we're doing pretty good. And you throw the Masters in the mix, it'll be a good weekend. So definitely looking forward to it and getting back with you guys next week and getting our friend Mike on to recap the event and doing some football. Should be some good times. So as always, Dave, it's good stuff. And, you know, we appreciate you having us on every week.
Thanks so much, guys. Feelings mutual. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Be safe. You know, no reason to go anywhere
definitely.
This weekend.
Be safe, guys.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, the best thing we can be right now is healthy. So, you know, just be as careful as you can be. Don't be Sam Pittman.
or the Notre Dame kids.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, that's another podcast. All right. So, let's... all right, guys. Well, take care and good luck. We'll see you soon.
All right, take it easy, fellas.
Good night. Well, that's our program tonight. Good program. Thanks to Ron. Thanks to John. Thanks to Andy. And we will then leave it to the Masters. And how cool is that? We're gonna get to see the Masters coming up in just a few hours. As a matter of fact, how about that? So if you have bets on the Masters, good luck to you as we get going. And until then, we hope that you stay safe, as we were talking about. you know, don't go too far. Travel, only do it if it's necessary. Wear a mask. Distance, it will be easier to do now because you don't have powers at the top forcing other people and belittling those who do so. And that's going to help, I think. I am Dave Medina. I hope you enjoyed it tonight. We're on the web at didcow.com. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/didcow. Twitter at didcow. Facebook is facebook.com/didcow. Or just look for Dave in the City Out West. Apple Podcasts, same thing. Dave in the City Out West. And if you happen to listen to the program on there, we would really appreciate it if you gave us a review. Ideally, a great review. But we thank you. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next time. So